Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, Rachel Baylor continues our series, Peace and Pain, where we talk about pain in life and how Jesus is our source of true peace. Rachel talks about loneliness, how we all experience it, and how Jesus can relate to us in our loneliness and rejection. We look at Matthew 27:45-50, and how Jesus is fully separated and abandoned by God on the cross. We talk about how we will never be separated from God since Jesus was, and how we can trust and have peace from that truth. We hope you enjoyed the message.
So how's everyone doing this morning? We good? We good? A little awake? You guys are 11 o'clock hours, so you shouldn't be that tired, Ellie. I'm just kidding. I know you had a long week. Well, if you guys don't know me or have never met me, my name is Rachel, and I'm on the student staff here as the student small group coordinator. So, yeah, super exciting. And I do, like, all things small groups. I like to hang out with y'all's small group leaders and talk to them. And, yeah, it's just really fun. And I've been here for a little over a year. I started last August, so August 2018. And I haven't gotten to talk to you guys in a while. I think the last time was in the spring, I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you guys and continue our series on peace and pain. We've talked about worry and anxiety and being overwhelmed the past 2 weeks. And this week, I'm going to talk to you guys about loneliness. And loneliness is kind of weird for me. Like, when Matt and Dallas first asked me to talk about this, I was like, okay, I mean, I guess, but I don't really see myself as a very lonely person because I'm pretty extroverted and I really love, like, having people around me all the time. That's just what's comforting to me. And, like, I love hosting people at my house. I like being with my friends and my roommates, going out to coffee with people. Like, that's just what I like to do. So I don't really think of myself as, like, being lonely very often. So it's kind of a weird thing. But when I was thinking about it, I was trying to think of, okay, what are some times in my life that I felt lonely. And I think the biggest times have been in big life transitions. And so I know you guys are in 6th and 7th and 8th grade, so you probably haven't been through a ton of life transitions, but you might have. Like, you might have moved a lot. You might have, like, switched schools. You might be about to switch schools, going from middle school to high school, big things like that. But a big thing for me was going to college. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I am not from Greenville. A lot of people, I know, what? A lot of people in first service were like, what? You've lived here your whole life. Well, you've never seen me until last year. So, but I grew up in Matthews, North Carolina. Does anyone know where that is? Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Missy. Yeah, Missy used to work in Matthews, which is fun. But it's a suburb of Charlotte. And so I grew up there my whole life. My parents actually still live in the house that I was, like, brought home from the hospital in. Everyone say hey to my parents. They're back there. What's up, guys? Hey, parents. Everyone's already asked me if we're related because we look the same. And we are. It's true. Yeah, so I always lived in Matthews, North Carolina, and my first time moving was going to college. And kind of embarrassed to say I cried the entire 2.5 hours down to Clemson because it was my first time moving. Like, it was really scary. And so that was a really big life transition, and I became really lonely, like, the first couple weeks at college. And it's kind of weird to think about being lonely when you're literally moving to a place where there's, like, thousands of people. Like, that doesn't really seem like a place where you should be lonely. But have you guys ever felt lonely, like, when there's a lot of people around you? Like, yeah. Yeah, you can feel lonely when there's a lot of people around you. Another time that I felt lonely has been with breakups. Kind of weird thing, but, like, breaking up with boyfriends. Boys, if you've, like, broken up with girlfriends. Yeah, it's a hard time. It's a hard time. Or even, like, breakups with friends. Like, if you've gone through a season of life where you're, like, not friends with that person anymore, you know? It's like you've been talking to this person for so long, and then all of a sudden you're just like, what? We're not talking anymore. We're not texting every day. We don't have a Snapchat streak anymore. It's really weird, you know? And even little things like being home alone. Like, I hate being home alone. Does anyone like being home alone? Okay, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with you people. That's what happened in first service, too, but I hate being home alone. Like, sometimes my parents will have me dog sit, and I'll just be home alone being like, oh, my gosh, this is so sad. Like, the house is so quiet, and, like, someone could come get me or, like, attack me and no one's going to know. Like, that's scary. That's sad. I don't like it. I don't even like being home alone, like, on my days off. I'm like, please, like, I'm begging my roommate to come home because I just, like, need some people around me. But I think the biggest time recently that I've experienced loneliness was actually moving here to Greenville, which sounds kind of sad, but that was the biggest time. So I was at Clemson for 4 years and then graduated and was looking for a job and found fellowship. And guys, what's crazy is I had never even heard of Fellowship Greenville Church. Never. I know, it's weird because you guys have been here forever. It's crazy. But I'd never heard of it. I went to Grace Church in college and had never heard of it, but I knew a girl that had worked here. So I was like, okay, I guess I can trust that it's like a fair church. Like if she worked there, like it must be okay. So I came here not knowing anyone. Like I didn't know Matt. I didn't know Dallas. I didn't know Scott. I didn't know Brentley. Brentley wasn't even here, but I didn't know her. And like it was just weird. I remember on my first day of work, I had to do a tour of the church because it's huge. If it's your first time here, this is like one of the biggest churches. And I had to go meet all of the staff members, and there's like 50 plus people on staff. And I was like, hey, I don't know any of you guys. And I knew some people in Greenville, like a couple of friends, but none of my best friends moved here. All of them like moved to Charleston pretty much. I don't really know why they're all in Charleston, but like I literally had to start fresh. Like I didn't have anyone. And I was living with this girl named Izzy, and the first time we met was when we moved in together. So that's kind of weird. Like in college I had met my roommate before we moved in together, but this was my first time living with someone that I'd never known. And she was a great girl. Like she was a great Christian girl that loved Jesus, but we were working all day, so we never really got to hang out. And then a lot of times she wasn't home at night, so I would go home. Oh, it sounds a lot sadder than this, but I would go home and just sit there and be like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't have any friends to hang out with. Dallas is, like, going home to his family. Matt's going home to his family. Like, sometimes I joke that I'm an orphan here in Greenville because my family is, like, 2 hours away. And, like, even Brentley the other week was like, yeah, are you going to be here for Christmas Eve? And I was like, no. Like, I don't want to spend Christmas Eve here by myself. Like, I'm going to go spend it with my family. And so sometimes I just, like, it gets lonely. Yeah, spend it with my family. Thanks, Dad. But even, like, in that season of loneliness, like, I would come home, and a lot of times I would just try to cover it up. Like, I would just watch, like, 3 hours of Netflix or just, like, scroll on Instagram for, like, what? Yeah, I'm not huge on Hallmark movies, but, like, you keep doing you, Sam. Or I would spend, like, hours scrolling on Instagram, you know? Like, you just, like, sit there, and you're just, like, scrolling, and it's an endless scroll, and then you're like, oh, my gosh, it's been, like, 2 hours. And you're like, what have I done with my life? And a lot of times I would just try to cover up that loneliness with things like that, with social media or just, like, binging Netflix. But the loneliness was still really there. It was really real, and it was still there. And so I think that God had to put me through that season of loneliness for a reason. I think that he had to put me through that season so that I would realize that I needed to fully rely on him and fully depend on him. Because I think that community is great, and I think that God really designs us for community, obviously, because he's part of the Trinity, like Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so he designs us for community. And obviously, I love community because my heart is with small groups. Like, that's what I do. I work with small groups. But I also think that sometimes we can't fully depend on everyone around us, you know? Like, when you're just sitting at home alone, that's the time where you're like, okay, it's just me. Like, no one's around me. And you have to really realize, like, who are you going to depend on? And so that's what I want to talk to you guys about is, like, spending that lonely time. Like, what do you do with that lonely time? And for me, it looked like coming home after work and really opening up my Bible. Like, not to say that I didn't before, but I spent hours, like, reading my Bible and really, like, journaling and praying for a lot of people in my life and a lot of different things in my life. And I think that the Lord had to bring me to that place of being lonely so that I would really depend on him and really spend my time with him. So how does this apply to you guys? How many of you guys have ever felt lonely? Okay, if you're not raising your hand, you're probably not telling the truth because I think we all feel lonely at some point. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about. So what are some examples of times that you have felt lonely? They don't have to be like super extreme. At school? When at school, Ellie? Do you have times at school, like certain times? Classes when you don't have your friends in them. Yeah, yeah. Yeah? When do you feel lonely? When you get lost in downtown Greenville. That's a really good one. Yeah, that gets really scary. Cheryl? you put your brother in the dryer and started it, and he felt lonely in that dryer. Yeah, so if you guys know Troy Searle in 9 o'clock service, one of his examples was actually that his brother locked him in a closet for 8 hours, and he felt really lonely in that closet. And I told him, buddy, I get it. Like, for some reason, our pantry when I was little had, like, this lock at the top, and my brother and his friend would put me and my sister in the pantry until my parents got home. I mean, it wasn't the worst place because, like, you had snacks and stuff, but, like, you get lonely in these really weird circumstances, right? And so I think that's why it's really important to talk about, because we all experience it. Like, you saw everyone around you is raising their hands. Like, you all feel lonely. How many of you guys are introverted? So that means that you like your time alone. That's where you get your energy. You, like, really need that. Okay, how many of you guys are extroverted? So you get your energy from being around people. You, like, need people surrounding you. Okay, so that's where I am. I'm in the extroverted place. Like, I just get so sad when I'm just alone. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, and I get really sleepy. But then when I'm here with you guys and, like, at night with our high schoolers, I'm like, yes, let's go. Let's do this, because there's lots of people around me and lots going on. And I think whether you're introverted and you like being alone, like, you still get lonely, right? Or whether you're extroverted and sometimes you feel, like, really left out and you feel like, oh, that person didn't invite me to their sleepover, or they didn't invite me to Gravitopia with them or something. Like, we all get it. We all experience loneliness. And I think especially in middle school, this is a big time of loneliness for you guys. Whether that's, like Ellie said, like, you don't have friends in your classes, or whether you're in eighth grade and you're about to go to a different high school than all of your friends, like, you guys experience loneliness a lot. And so I think it can be a really good place to be vulnerable with your feelings. Like, when you guys go to small groups talking about, like, hey, I feel lonely in this place. But guys, I also think it can be a really dangerous place where we can fall into the trap of not believing that God's with us. Like, we believe that, yeah, there aren't people physically surrounding us, and so we're lonely, but it can also be dangerous when we forget that God is with us and he loves us. So what do we do when we're lonely? And how can Jesus relate to us? That's what we're going to look at a little bit for the rest of the morning. So I'm going to read in Hebrews 4:15. It's going to be up on the screen. Y'all don't have to turn to it, but I think this is how Jesus can relate to us. And it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." So I think that verse is super important because he gets it. Like, Jesus is our great high priest. He's been there. He's been tempted like we have, and he gets it. Like, he's probably the one that's been the most lonely. And so let's look at when Jesus has been really lonely. So if you guys have your Bibles or on your phones, or it'll be up on the screen, we're going to turn to Matthew 27, and we're going to start in verse 45. So this whole chapter is talking about Jesus being crucified. So he's been delivered to Pilate. All the crowd wants him crucified. And so he's gone through the crucifixion, and now this is talking about the death of Jesus. So starting in verse 45, it says, "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, 'This man is calling Elijah.' And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." So that's when Jesus died. That's the death of Jesus. Probably one of the saddest things that we can read in the Bible. So I want you guys to pay attention to the question that Jesus asks here. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And if you don't know what forsaken means, it means abandoned. So you can replace it to say, my God, why have you abandoned me?" And I think it's kind of crazy to think about God the Father abandoning God the Son. But why did he have to do that? Does anyone know? Trenton? Yeah, he needed a perfect sacrifice to save everyone. So, good job, Trenton. That was good. So I think a lot of times we think about the physical pain of Jesus on the cross. We think about how he was beaten and mocked and the crown of thorns like stuck into his head and the bleeding that he went through on the cross and literally the worst death as the crucifixion. But I think this verse is so cool because it shows Jesus's emotional pain. It shows the pain that he's going through emotionally as he's on the cross. He's feeling that full separation from God the Father. And it's really cool because Jesus took on that full separation from God the Father, and that's what we deserved. Like, that's what Trenton was saying. He had to be that sacrifice. And he was cut off from the fellowship with God for us so that we never have to be. Like, how much lonelier can you get than being cut off from God? Like, I think, like, loneliness in your pantry, loneliness, like, at school, and then there's, like, loneliness being separated from God. Like, there's no doubt that wins the prize. That is the highest. And it's really cool because Jesus understands our loneliness. Like, he really does get it. He is the great high priest who can sympathize with us, like we read in Hebrews 4. He knew rejection and loneliness. Like, he gets it. That was full rejection, full loneliness. And so that's what makes him perfect for understanding your rejection and your loneliness. Like, when you feel rejected from your friends, when you feel rejected maybe even from your family, like, he gets that. He fully understands it. The perfect unity with God that he had was broken so that he could understand that with us. He fully endured that so that we never have to. And I think that's a promise that we really need to remember. And another cool thing that I want to point out in this passage is that he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? So you might not know this, but this is the only time in the whole Gospel of Matthew that he does not call God his Father. He says, my God, he doesn't say Father. So like even when Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray, he's saying like the Lord's Prayer and he's saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's saying, our Father. When he is crying out to God in the Garden of Gethsemane before he's crucified, like Dallas talked about last week, he's saying, Father, will you take this cup from me? Like he addresses him as Father. And that shows like how abandoned he felt when he says, my God, like he's not calling him Father anymore. Like, can you imagine feeling so abandoned from your mom or your dad or something, and you just stopped calling them that? Like, you stopped. There's, like, that automatic, you know? You just, like, call him mom, call him dad, and, like, he's not calling them that anymore because he feels so abandoned. So I think that's really important to see, that God felt so abandoned from God. I mean, sorry, Jesus felt so abandoned from God so that we never have to feel that. And so how does that help with your loneliness? Like, yeah, okay, Rachel, I get it. Like, Jesus was separated from God. Like, how does that affect me? And I think it's the peace that comes from knowing this, the peace that comes from knowing that we never have to be there. We never have to be separated from God when we're a child of God. We never have to feel that full separation. Like, even if we feel like people aren't physically around us, even when we feel physically alone, we never have to feel emotionally alone. Have you guys ever heard the phrase Emmanuel? Emmanuel, God with us. A lot of times we hear it at Christmas. I don't really know why we only talk about it at Christmas, but it means God with us. And so if you're a child of God, like you constantly have the Holy Spirit with you, Jesus came down so that he could be with us. He could be Emmanuel. And so even when we feel left out or overlooked by others, you can know that you are chosen by God. You can know that he is with you, and you don't have to be afraid that you're going to be alone. And so I think when we're lonely, a lot of times we try to cover it up. Would you guys agree? Like, we try to just pretend, like, no, let me send a streak Snapchat to 25 people so they think that I have a lot of friends. Or let me try to put all these pictures up on Instagram from, like, a year ago that I took with my friends so they don't think that I'm lonely right now. Or let me try to just, like, cover it up with watching lots of Netflix, cover it up with playing lots of video games. And I think that we can just try to, like, shut it out, just be like, oh, no, I'm not lonely. Like, just pretend, like, I'm not lonely. But deep down, I think a lot of times we do get lonely. Like, we feel like we don't have a best friend. We feel like our family isn't there for us. And so that's when we really have to dig deep into Jesus. That's like me. Like, when I got to Greenville and I felt really lonely, and instead of just trying to cover it up, because that doesn't help anything, instead of trying to cover it up, actually, like, digging deep into the Bible, digging deep into the truth, and realizing that Jesus understands. I think we start living differently when we understand this, that peace in the midst of pain, of loneliness. There is the peace that Jesus brings. And to live differently with this, I think that means sharing it with others. Like when you guys see, has anyone ever seen like someone at lunch sitting alone at a table at lunch? They're just sitting alone. I'll share a quick sad story with you guys. My ninth grade year of high school, I didn't know anyone in my lunch because we had like four different lunches and I didn't know anyone in my lunch. So I just like would go sit in my classroom with my teacher and eat lunch. It was really sad. But like that's how I felt and no one reached out to me. Like no one brought me into their table and was like, no, Rachel, come sit with us. And I like that's me who loves being around people all the time. And so just think about how many people are around you that feel lonely. Or the people that at a sports event, like people aren't coming up and like, yeah, good job, Ellie, good job, you did great. Like they're not coming up to you at a sports event, like always cheering you on, you know? And so just like being aware of the people that are more lonely or the looking at the people that you do see on social media that are trying to fill the void that you know don't have great friends, but they're just trying to fill that. And so I think we can live differently by believing this truth that God is with us and actually bringing that into our community, into our circle, bringing other people in. And so that's also a big part of our student ministry here, like belong, believe, become, creating a place of belonging. And I think that's what we need to do. I think we need to take this truth and believe it ourselves, believe it that Jesus is always with us and he wants us to find community and then transfer that into the people around us and bring them in. And guys, I really don't want any of you to go through life alone. If you do feel lonely, I want you to be vulnerable with that and share that in your small group and talk about that because that's where your small group leaders want to come around you. That's where the people in your small groups want to come around you. We don't want you to be alone, but I also want you guys to live in peace that you're not alone. Live in the peace that Jesus is always with you and trust that you will never be. Trust that you're never going to be alone because Jesus is always with you because he went through that separation so that you don't have to. And so I want to challenge you guys to think about how often do you cover up your loneliness? Like, I really don't think we think about this all the time, but how often do you cover up your loneliness? And do you believe that God can fill that void? Do you believe that he can really come in and love you fully and know you fully so that you don't feel lonely? So I want you guys to pray with me. I'm going to pray for small groups and that you guys would be vulnerable and talk about loneliness and talk about the people in your lives that feel lonely. I'm going to pray for the times that you guys have felt lonely and the times that you will feel lonely because you are going to go through seasons where you're going to feel lonely. I'm just going to say it. Like you're going to go through those seasons. And sometimes I think that's a good season to go through like it was for me. And I'm going to pray for the people in here that might even feel lonely, that might always feel like they come to church and never feel like they have a place here. Okay? All right. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you just this morning and the opportunity to talk about hard things, to talk about loneliness. And God, I thank you that you can relate to us with it. You're the one that knew full loneliness, and I'm super thankful for that so that we never have to know true loneliness. Thank you for always being with us, and God, I just pray for vulnerability in small groups today. God, I pray over the students that come here and feel lonely, that go to school and feel lonely, and God, I pray that this would be a place of belonging where they wouldn't feel that. God, I pray for the times that all of us have been hurt by loneliness and all of the times that we will go through seasons of loneliness. And God, I just pray that we would believe that truth, that you're with us constantly. And Lord, that we would live that out to the people around us and bring them in and create that place of belonging. Lord, thank you for this morning. And I pray for a great rest of the day. In your name I pray. Amen.